This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
On the go, breakfast and Capricorn FM, Limpopo's hottest frequency. And like we told you, we have a special guest in the studio joining us this morning. And he is the one that selected this song. I think for the longest of time, we've been hearing him on the voice clips that news has been playing from time to time. And I'm like, ay, man. When are we meeting this brother? He sounds like a cool person. Like, he's all about the people.
Exactly. All about the people. He's that guy who's fighting for people's rights in the province. But he's not a politician, or is he? So we'll find all of that. We'll find all of that today. He has an amazing life story, and that's why we brought him in studio to talk to us. Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by the provincial manager of the SA Human Rights Commission in Limpopo, Mr. Victor Mabidura. Good morning.
Good morning to you and the listeners.
Yeah. What do we even start saying? We have been hearing your voice for the longest of time. Perhaps maybe let's start with the song that you asked us to play this morning, Shwele Baba. What does it mean to you?
In fact, I started loving this song back in 1996 when I was down. And I used to hear this song on the radio. Yeah. And my brother that I was staying with, he was having a DVD, you know, those VCR things.
Oh, yes, yes,
cassette.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes.
So we used to play this song at home, and every time when my spirit is down, I will be listening to the song, and it will give me courage to soldier on. So that is where I started falling in love with, in fact, generally with Rebecca, because her songs always touches me inside.
Lifts you up.
Yeah, sometimes when I play this song, when I was waking some years ago in 1996, I think it was around May, starting from May 1996, I used to cry when I was sitting on my desk.
Yeah.
Tears will just come out when I was playing this song, and I said, God, God, I don't know, but it touches me inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. All right.
You know, I think before we even get into a lot of things, you have been so generous, you know. First of all, generous because you moved your schedule around for today to honor our appointment. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much. I must confess that I just have to arrange with other people that I'm supposed to meet this afternoon from the Department of Home Affairs to assist somebody to get an ID, by the way.
Yeah.
So I have to request the head of the region just to allow me to come and talk to the people, because I believe that after this interview, so many people might change and see things differently.
I think so too. Because there's so much you're going to be learning about you. Let's start right from the beginning in terms of where you come from, where you were born, you know, and the kind of childhood you had.
Yeah, I was born in Venda, in a village called Chitareke. Okay. Back in the years. Let me not disclose my age.
Really? I thought men were not sensitive about age.
Because sometimes my age does not feel how I look. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So I was born there, and I started my primary school there in Chitareke Primary School. Mm-hmm. After completing my standard two, I will use standard, the grade,
of course,
I think.
Of course.
I passed my standard two at Chitareke Primary School. I then moved to Chiburani Village, where I was staying with my mom, and I went to attend my standard three to standard five at Gindikindi Primary School. After standard five, I went to Ntechelesini Secondary School. For standard six to eight, I then moved to Mpapuli High School to do my standard nine and standard 10.
Yeah.
And then I leave school.
Yeah. You've just given us your age, because you could have been sitting here and going, I attended form one, form two, form three, form four.
You know? No, I think you did that. And I don't know. I don't know if this gives us an idea of the kind of person that you are, because all I said was, where were you born and tell us about your childhood? And you chose to tell us about your academic journey, like in school, sub A, standard one, standard all these things.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, let's take it to your family a little bit, you know, in terms of your siblings, your family, your parents, you know, what kind of upbringing did you have?
We are five from my mother. I've got a younger brother and a younger sister, and elder sister and elder brother. I'm in the middle. So I grew up with all my siblings, Hence, we were separated a little bit. I think it was back in 1984 when my mother separated with my father. And I had to remain with my stepmother and my father and my siblings. I remain with my younger brother. But the other siblings moved with my mother. They will stay with my mother, and we joined them after that because it was hard. I grew up as a head boy. Anyway, I was looking after goat, cattle, everything. I was doing gardening, cooking for my mother. I've done all those things. So I was a very disciplined child. I can confess that I was that kind of child who would take instruction from my mother. I don't remember a situation where my mother was angry with me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was always taking instruction. If she said, don't come back late,
yeah,
I will not come back late.
Yeah.
If she said, go and look after goods and all those things, I will go and do that.
Yeah.
In fact, she was believing much in gardening, trying to, because she was a single mother, by the way.
Yeah.
And she has to make sure that she rely on us on doing some of the things at the house, like cleaning the house and everything. So we had to assist her. But what was touching me most was that the salary that she was earning, I could see from the time when I was growing that it's like we're not going to go anywhere with this salary.
Mm, mm.
Because it was too little.
Yeah.
To not even afford to buy food for the whole month and all those things. But I can say thanks to my brother, Mr. Mjerere, who was also who had been there, my elder brother from my sister's mother.
Okay.
So then he used to buy things for us.
Mm.
He would have buy bubi. He used to do that for my mother, and that is how we survive. And I can say without any hesitation that he was my role model, because from the whole family, because we're very close.
Yeah.
He is the one who was the first one to pass matric.
Yeah.
And by that time, when somebody is having a car, it was like something a dream.
It was a big deal, especially for a black man.
Exactly.
In fact, in the meantime, you might have been the most hated man in community, because every time somebody did something wrong, they had to be compared to you to
say.
Exactly.
Provincial manager, SA Human Rights Commission in the province, Victor Mabidure, is joining us in studio. We're getting to know him a little better. Wherever you are, your rights can wait. We want to know the man.
Don't call for any complaints about human rights violation somewhere. This is about getting to know the man himself.
Yeah. You know how being soft spoken can be mistaken for being a player. So how many girlfriends did you have growing up, sir?
You didn't see that coming, right? You didn't see it coming.
Yeah, this is off guard. How can I ask that question?
Well, it needs an answer.
Then you should give me a brief.
And we didn't brief you about that.
Were you a ladies' man?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I was not. In fact, my focus when I grew up was education. Anyway, you know, when you want to date, when you grow up wanting to date, you must have resources a little bit.
Even today.
Yeah, even today.
It's
just
worse
like that.
Even today.
Then, obviously, I could not even afford to buy what you call chocolate, you know, those things.
Yes,
so,
sir.
To me, ladies were not even looking at me as a potential boyfriend. So I grew up in a situation where, to me, dating was not a priority, and I was not that focusing on that.
Yeah.
And I used to have friends, was living, communicating today, but not as boyfriend or girlfriend, but just friends, ladies' friends. I was not in the women's territory. My focus was studying.
Yeah.
Was also a bit in politics.
Okay.
Because I have to balance. You have to know your country. You need to know what is happening around you.
Yes, sir.
So ladies, not that much. I started, even when I was in the varsity, I can tell you our lives. It was myself, I think we, it was three of us who were focusing on books all the time. Mm. It's Mraro Rajnani, who is I think he's my mentor in terms of education and preparing me how I should adjust myself with studies and everything.
Nice.
He's now a secretary, company secretary for PSL.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Mraro Rajnani.
Nice, nice.
Then we have Christopher Mamatuncha, who is now a practicing attorney in Johannesburg from Mamatuncha Attorneys. We were very close. We were that kind of boys who would, when other people are preparing for a bash on Friday, we will be carrying our books to the library, our bags to the library. On Saturday, we'll study in the morning, and in the afternoon, we'll go and cook for ourselves and everything. So the issue of dating was not a priority to us. And I mean, we've just realized that we don't have even money to take somebody to watch the movie in Durban.
And which tertiary institution was this?
We were studying at the University of Durban Westville.
Ah, yes. And you're in Durban.
But here's
and you're
the thing.
There on some Angjoli. John.
Well, in a way, I mean, there's a story, right, that before you even went to Durban, you went to University of Venda, you were dropped out, and then you were in Joburg to find a job. And there's a story about how you met a guy by the name of Hendrik Temedi, who was a security guard at the time. And sitting right there, you have connections with... Let me drop names. With Denny K's father. You know, the Denny K in the country. So just give us background about how that happened, Hendrik Temedi, and, you know, by you ending up at Durban Westville.
Yes, let me start by saying may his soul rest in peace. He passed on. In fact, it was 1996 when I dropped out. I was a student at the University of Venda in 1995.
Okay.
And then I was dropped out because my mother did not have money to take me for the second year at the University of Venda.
Okay.
Then I went to Johannesburg. I was trying to look for better life anyway. Then from there, I was selling house proud products, chemicals, and by the way,
yes,
or a product that you can use to strengthen your hair, you can use to do a lot of things. Then I went to a certain company called Omega Holdings, and I was selling those products in each and every company, just asking to get in and all those things. Then from there, I come across Mr. Temedi. I was speaking Zulu, and my Zulu was not polished properly. And he could feel that now, this boy,
yeah,
it's not a Zulu.
Yeah.
Then he said, he looked at me like this. Then I was surprised. He said, I was shocked. Okay, I have to respond in Venda now. Mm. Then he started interrogating me. Then I explained to him my problem, that I want to further my studies. I'm trying to save money for my studies next year and all those things. And then he looked at me. It was like shocking to him. Then he said, I'm going to give you this number.
Mm.
Don't mention my name. Whatever that you're going to do, you're not going to mention my name, but write a letter to this person.
And this person is going to hook you up, and that's how you ended up in Durban. In fact, we'll continue with the conversation from there, and you will tell us how come you came back still without a girl with a gold tooth.
From Durban?
7 after 8, third and final hour of On The Go Breakfast with Complexion and Mpumashita. Joining us in studio, getting to know him a little better on a personal level, Provincial Manager, SA Human Rights Commission in Limpopo, Bo Victor Mabidura.
Now, he was telling us a story before we went into news and everything. Many years ago, Mr. Gavin Koppel received an unsolicited mail in the form of a letter written by a young boy from Venda, pouring out his heart about how he had dropped out of school and was in Joburg looking for to raise money to go back to school. And that letter was from Victor Mabidura. Right now, we have Mr. Koppel on the line. Morning, Mr. Koppel. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you doing, Mpo?
No.
DJ Complexion.
We are great. Yes, welcome to the show. Do you remember
you.
When you received that letter from young Victor? What was your impression?
You know, this was a gentleman who took the time and the courage to write a letter. But I think I must just clarify, the backstory is a little bit more complex than that. He approached the guard at the gate. He actually walked to the company where I was working as the managing director, and he asked the guard at the gate if he could see me, and the guard rejected him. But because the guard was also a vendor gentleman, he said to him, no, you must approach this guy. And I think he forwarded him my details.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was the type of person that, you know, my door is always open. And then he phoned me at home one night and he said to me, look, he left his number. I then called somebody in Soweto and I managed to get a hold of Victor. And I said, you know what, come and see me tomorrow. And he came in and he looked at me and he told me his story. And I just looked into his mind and soul. And I knew that this was a young man who had faced a lot of hardship and difficulty. And I just felt I was chosen to do something in this young man's life. Because the previously disadvantaged of our country were under the cosh of apartheid and they never had opportunity. And I just felt here was my opportunity to give back to a fellow South African. And if I could change the life of a young man for the better, then why not? This was my opportunity and I grabbed it. No. I don't need that.
You're about to make us cry, aren't you?
No, man, we're getting all teary. Here's the thing. Victor tells us that his results were very average and his track record was not so great, that he had only passed one module at the time, the school where he dropped off. He had failed the other subjects. Why did you decide to sponsor his studies? Because usually they would say you want A students and all these things. You saw all these things. Why did you decide to help?
Yes. Because I was a failure myself at school. I was more interested in music, R&B and Motown music and the soul classics. So I knew that, you know, I may not have been a great scholar, but I was, you know, I still had a fire in me. And I saw that fire in this young man. And to fail is not a sin. It just gives you another opportunity to try again. So why not? I'd rather invest time and love in a man like Victor than somebody who was an A-grade student. If you've got, and I saw that in him, I knew that if he was given an opportunity,
yes, sir,
he would succeed. He would rise like the phoenix from the ashes. And he did.
Yeah,
under tremendous strain and obstacles. He's a hero.
Wow, so you're into R&B. Now we know where Danny Kaye gets it from.
Absolutely. He listened to my jams, and that's how it happened. So I'm so proud. My family is so proud of him. He's done exceptionally well. He's a family man. He's got great values, great morals. And I think it behoves every South African who has had a privileged past. You know, white privilege is what we've had. We were privileged. If each one of us will take somebody like Victor, we can have, and we will have, the best nation on earth.
Mr. Koppel, thank you so much. You have been such an inspiration, and we thank you for the role that you played in young Victor's life. And here he is, as you know, an older version of a great South African. Have a great day, and keep shining.
Thank you.
Yeah, and maybe before you go,
yes,
I think maybe, yes, Bravik, you have a word or two to say too.
Yes. Hello, my son.
I'm okay, and you, lady.
Very good. I'm so proud of you that you're on Capricorn Radio. What a great radio station. Speaking to millions of fellow South Africans about your life story, which is an example to everybody who's in a struggle right now. And we are all in a struggle. And I hope your story will inspire many others never to give up.
Thank
so
you.
God bless you, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I believe that those who are listening out there will think twice before they give up.
Absolutely. If they've got the tenacity and the absolute willpower of my young son, Victor, we will create the greatest nation on earth. You just keep shining.
Thank you.
Can I go to the bathroom?
And cry.
Mr.
Koppel, thank you so much. Cry. Have a great day. God bless.
Thank you so much. So we'll carry on with the conversation as we're about to wrap up. It's 18 after 8 on the Go Breakfast in Capricorn FM in Popo's Hardest Frequency. We continue having this great conversation with Bravik joining us in the studio. I think if you get an opportunity, sometime in the near future, please, you must also share that template Yeah, the letter that you wrote to the gentleman there, because clearly it has that thing, you know.
Yeah,
with that broken English.
Yeah.
No, but it touched his heart.
Denny K needs another black brother. Pagama complexion, pagama. So, but let's look into your job. I mean, are you still excited about your job?
Very excited. As a provincial manager for South African Human Rights Commission, I think we are having a huge responsibility. I'm having a huge responsibility on my shoulder.
Yes, sir.
And with the team that I'm having in the province, it's very small, but we can shake the province.
Yes.
I can tell you everyone in my office is committed. They are doing a great job. So I have noticed that this is my belief. Yes, I'm a manager, but alone I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I always motivate my colleagues that whichever role you are playing in the office, whether you are cleaning our office, whether you are in the admin, whether you are a receptionist, whether an investigator, if you do your best in your position, believe me, this province will be shining. And we have shaken the province, and we are doing our best, and we are not scared of anyone. Mm-hmm. Anyway, by the way, I feel that I'm more knowledgeable to hold that position because I'm not scared of anyone, because I know that knowledge is power.
Yeah.
You come to our office even when I'm not there.
Yes, sir.
I can tell you my own administrator, Mahlatsi, can run my office in my absence.
Yeah.
Yes, she's very much strong. Mankese is running Horab, and we have Eileen Carter, who's also running legal. All of us, we are committed to do our best wherever we are. And what we have noticed is that we stand together. If we take a decision as an office, don't think that you will divide us or you will penetrate us and say, just distance yourself from this decision from the office.
Yeah.
It won't happen, because most of the decision that I take, I get advice. I get advice by the staff members. Even when I'm taking interview on the matters that we have investigated, you must know that I don't do actual investigation. I intervene. Our staff members will come to me, our investigators will come to me and say, Mr. Mabidura, this is the case. I think this is what should be done. Nah. And I'm going to do that.
Nah.
Yeah.
So it's the weekend already. I mean, what does a gentleman of your note with so much responsibilities across the province do just to unwind?
Oh, yeah, I must say that I spend much of my time with my friend and my family. My friend Rufuno Nemkula is just everything to me. He's the one, anyway, who motivated me to get back to school.
Okay.
When I was out of school, he was criticizing me. We grew up together anyway.
Yeah.
Even today, we're still friends. So, Advocate Nemkula, everything that I have, all credit goes to you. So I feel that he still, even today, stand up for me and advise me, don't do this. For example, sometimes you get drunk with these positions or thinking that you are untouchable.
You're powerful, and yes.
He will always guide me that don't do this.
Yes.
From a personal level, and I do listen to him a lot. My wife, I can tell you now, I'm in this position because of him today. Don't forget, I joined the commission in 2012. I was head of legal services from the Commission for Gender Equality before joining Human Rights Commission.
Okay.
She's the one who said, I want you to apply this position. She's like running my private office at home.
Yeah.
Because she will always tell, she will advise me on things that I am doing. If I'm doing something wrong, she will say, you will be in trouble, don't do this. And I listen, and here we are running this office. No bad stories, no negative media coverage, nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm proud that I'm associating myself with the right people all the time.
Ah, wonderful stuff,
true,
man.
That is so true.
It feels like we have been hanging out for only 10 minutes.
I know, there's so much you can still talk about, you know what? But then our hour has come to an end, and you also have commitments that you need to go to, that you shifted in order to join us today. We are so grateful that you came through. And today we look at you, in a different light, because
you
opened up your life to us. We are so grateful, and we wish you all the best. Have a great day, and all the best with everything, your office, your life, your family, your future goals, and all those things.
Thank you very much.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.